Module 2, Lesson 2, The Physiology of Sleep. In this lesson, I will give you an overview of the physiology of child sleep so that you can better understand why we suggest certain things and discourage others, especially when we get more into the practical steps later on in this course. During the first 6 months of life, there are some major changes that take place in a baby's brain that drastically affect their biological sleep mechanisms. And because many ongoing sleep issues stem from these physiological changes, understanding the basics of key developments will actually help you to understand your child's current sleep issues, even if your child is already over 1 year old. So firstly, the circadian rhythm and homeostatic sleep drive are the two main forces that regulate your child's sleep rhythm. The circadian rhythm is your child's internal biological clock, which is primarily reset and regulated by external factors such as light and darkness, timing of meals, social interaction, alarm clocks, etc. These are called Zeitgebers, meaning time tellers in German. The homeostatic sleep drive, on the other hand, is understood simply as the internal pressure that just naturally builds up in the body the longer your child is awake. This sleep drive also regulates the length and the depth of sleep. That means the longer your child is awake, the more tired they become. These two forces hand in hand, the externally regulated circadian rhythm and the internally regulated homeostatic sleep drive, are what work together to control your child's sleep processes. There are also various hormones that help our children regulate sleep, and melatonin is one of the most important ones. Melatonin is only produced in the dark. That's why it's known as the sleep hormone. A child's melatonin release is regulated by exposure during the day to light and dark so that they naturally begin to feel tired at bedtime as the sun goes down. We can use this to our advantage by creating a sleep-conducive environment for our little ones to sleep in, but we'll talk more about that in Module 3. Serotonin, a mood-boosting hormone, also known as the happy hormone, is another key ingredient involved in the regulation of sleep. Production of serotonin is encouraged by exposure to sunlight, and then as it gets dark, serotonin is converted into melatonin in the brain. So really practically speaking, a great way to encourage good sleep is just to get out and about when your child's awake and get some sun. Overtiredness is one of the key factors that we see contributing to sleep issues in babies and children because it causes increased production of stress hormones such as adrenaline and cortisol. These hormones make settling to sleep and sleeping longer stretches of time much more difficult. Plus, children begin to cry and fuss more when they're overtired. I mean, even we as adults get cranky when we're tired, right? Making any changes to sleep habits all the more frustrating for them. So in order to prevent overtiredness, it's really crucial that your little one gets restorative naps throughout the day and also has a good day and night sleep balance. By about 12 weeks of age, the 40 to 50 minute sleep cycle that you can see here, it emerges due to the developing circadian rhythm or internal clock. This is why many babies begin to struggle with falling asleep and catnapping around this time, only able to stay asleep for one sleep cycle. By 5 months of age, your baby's physiological ability to connect sleep cycles will have improved, and most babies will have a predictable and established circadian rhythm. That makes it easier to work on and improve on your baby's sleep around this age or from this age onward. However, if your child is used to connecting their sleep cycles only with some sort of help like rocking or nursing, it is actually likely that they will continue to only do short naps past the age of 5 months despite being developmentally ready for longer independent naps. It's really normal for newborns to do multiple 40-minute naps a day, and that can be fine for that stage of their development. However, as your little one gets older, the quality of the naps, not just the quantity, becomes more and more important. And encouraging your little one to do at least one longer nap of more than one sleep cycle after the age of 4 months is key to preventing overtiredness. Also, after going through the 4 month sleep regression, or we call it a progression, your child will have four distinct stages of sleep. Non-REM sleep, non-rapid eye movement sleep, which in itself has actually three different sleep stages, ranging from light to deep sleep, and REM sleep, which is rapid eye movement sleep. You can learn more specifically about the 4 month sleep regression in the troubleshooting module. But during non-REM sleep, which is also known as quiet sleep, Short-term memory is transferred to long-term memory. The blood flow to the muscles is increased. New brain synapses are formed. Vision is sharpened. Energy is restored. And emotions are processed and stress is reduced. On the other hand, during REM sleep, which is also called active or dream sleep, memory is consolidated, the immune system is strengthened, bones and tissues are repaired, dreaming takes place, and appetite is regulated and growth occurs. So apart from all of these wonderful things that are taking place while our children are sleeping, what practical implication does this have on their sleep at night? Well, does any of the following sound familiar? Your little one sleeps great from about 7 or 8 p.m. until about 10 or 11 p.m. and then wakes 1 to 2 hourly throughout the rest of the night, particularly struggling to settle between 4 and 6 a.m. What on earth is that all about? Well, looking at this night sleep cycles graph, we can see that this is actually really normal as your child cycles through the various non-REM and REM sleep stages through the night. So simply put, based on a 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. night, the deepest sleep of the night is between 7 and 11 p.m. After this, your little one regularly goes through lighter sleep phases until the early morning. This lightest sleep is between 4 and 6 a.m., which is why your child may wake more easily in the early hours of the morning. This natural sequence of different sleep stages and phases is why after the 4-month sleep regression, it becomes really important how and where your child falls asleep. Now that the child is no longer a newborn, they are way more aware of their surroundings and they are creatures of habit. The way that they're settled at the beginning of naps and at bedtime is the way that they expect to be resettled in the middle of a nap or in the middle of a night, respectively. This means that if your little one needs help falling asleep at the beginning of nap time or bedtime, for example, with rocking or nursing to sleep, they will more than likely need that same help again to get back to sleep in order to connect their sleep cycles. And we're going to go more into more detail on how this contributes to frequent night wake-ups in Module 7, and then also how to encourage more independent self-settling in Module 7 and 8. So wait for that. Sleeping in and of itself is a physiological phenomenon, meaning that every baby is born with the physical ability to sleep, and the trajectory of sleep development is relatively the same for each child. However, the actual sleep patterns and habits that your child develops over time, for example, the number of night wakings, the length of night sleep, the number and the length of their naps, that's largely the result of their temperament combined with the child-parent interactions that they have with you. So, babies are born with specific genetic defaults, which may make certain aspects of sleep less or more difficult. Plus, in an additional layer, each family, each society, each culture has their own habits and norms which affect the way that sleep is approached. Some babies are very aware of their surroundings. They have trouble shutting out stimulation and they seem to need a lot of help to fall asleep as newborns, right? Other ones seemingly couldn't care less if they are at home in their bed or in the stroller at a bustling train station. They just nap wherever and whenever. On top of this nature aspect, though, at the end of the day, all babies are also creatures of habit. So the patterns and the rituals that we repeat as parents slowly do become normal for them. So for example, when a highly alert newborn is born, yes, they may actually need more help with rocking and nursing to fall asleep at that stage. But after 8 months of doing that, that pattern has become more of a learned habit than an actual need. An 8-month-old in general is much more able to shut out distractions and fall asleep more or less independently. However, if they've never done it before, it may seem as if they're not really capable of it. And that's where the parent-child interaction has begun to build upon temperament and physiology and shape sleep behavior. So, as you're forming the sleep plan for your child, we want you to consider both aspects. Firstly, what is your little one's temperament like and how does that affect their sleep? And on the other side, what kind of habits have you helped form in the past in regards to sleep? Go to your worksheets now and answer the questions from Module 2, Lesson 2, Nature versus Nurture.